Well, friends, every culture and every generation has its cliches. To obey is better than sacrifice is a biblical cliche. The Hebrews used it a lot, and so did Jesus and his disciples. It has a specific meaning in biblical culture. To obey refers to obeying the law of God, particularly the Ten Commandments, or the Ten Words, as it actually is in the Hebrew language. And to sacrifice was the term used to religiously and ritually worship God, fulfilling the details of the law. Now, its first biblical use of this term, this cliche, is when Samuel rebuked Saul for offering a sacrifice instead of obeying God's clear command to destroy all the Amalekites. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as obeying the voice of the Lord, as in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22? You see, Saul felt pleased. Saul felt he had pleased the Lord more because he offered a sacrifice to the Lord, while ignoring the clear command that God had given to him to deal with all the Amalekites. So Samuel reminded Saul, the Lord sent you on a mission, that's in verse 18 of 1 Samuel 15, and you did not fulfill it. You see, ritual ceremony does not replace or substitute or make up for failure to obey God's clear commands, as we so often sometimes do when we know we've sinned. We try and do some religious service. To obey a clear command from God was Saul's primary task, which he had despised as something unimportant by comparison. When David wrote in Psalm 40, verse 6, in sacrifice and offering, you have not delighted. Burnt offering and sin offering, you have not required. He was speaking relatively, not absolutely. Of course God wants worship and sacrifices from us, but traditional forms of worship take second place to the clear commandments of God. Traditional practices, even good religious ones, are not substitutes for God's commands. David's son Solomon put it clearly, to do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Proverbs 21:3. We might be surprised at that, but the Bible teaches that. When Isaiah wrote, what to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. Bring no more vain offerings. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, all religious things, my soul hates, says the Lord. My soul hates. That's Isaiah chapter 1, and read chapter 58 as well. Now Samuel was rebuking Israel for Isaiah was rebuking Israel for thinking that sacrificial offerings was more important to God than attending to the obvious needs of the commands he repeatedly gave to the Israelites, to take care of the needs of the poor and the oppressed and the fatherless and the widow, something very dear and near to God's heart. If Israel had the heart of God, they would have been concerned for the oppressed, the needy, the widow, the orphan, and the homeless, but they were not at all interested. Israel failed to produce what is the fruit of the Spirit. Now we're told quite clearly what the fruit of the Spirit is. It's love, love for your neighbour. It's peace. It's kindness. It's goodness, it's gentleness, and it's self-control, Galatians chapter 5. verse 22. And these are the true marks of a believer, not his attendance, his regular attendance on ceremonies or traditional habits that we have, no matter how good or traditional these habits may be. Israel felt they had secured the favour of God on their purity of worship, their purity of religious worship, which, while ignoring the many commands that God had given to them about their relationships with other people, especially the oppressed people, especially the poor people, especially the widow and the orphan and the homeless. Now, I know this sounds like salvation by works, but God's not speaking about how to be saved or the salvation of Israel here. Israel were already saved. They were redeemed. It says that again and again and again in Scripture. God was here speaking about how Israel were to live out their faith in God, the faith they said they had in God. They confirmed twice, once at Sinai and on the border of the Promised Land, that they were in covenant with God, and they confessed that God was their God. And if Israel were his people, indeed, they would have had the Spirit of God within them, and they therefore should have manifested the fruit of the Spirit in their daily lives. Now, just as children have some of the genes of their father, so the children of God have some of the attributes of God. For Christians are partakers of the divine nature. 2 Peter 1:4. God again and again revealed to Israel his character and called them to reflect that character, to reflect his image. Micah says, God has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. That's Micah 6, verse 8. To do justice in Hebrew means very much more than delivering justice in the law courts. In Hebrew, the word justice, mishpat, includes the element of doing what is right, helping the poor, actually. And kindness, which is chesed, refers to the motive behind the deed. Why we're doing it. It's better rendered as steadfast love. So these two words, justice, doing what is right, and kindness, chesed, steadfast love, fundamentally it describes the being and character of God. And these characteristics ought to characterize us. If we are his children, kindness and steadfast love. Now Christ is the express image of God. And we Christians, being united to Christ, therefore have his Spirit within us. This means we should manifest his compassion, his love, his mercy. These should be outstanding qualities in our daily lives. Jesus loved all mankind, even the wicked and the rebellious, and he gave them gifts. Read Psalm 68 verse 18 and Ephesians 4 verse 8. Jesus helped. Jesus healed. Jesus provided for all classes of people and commanded us to love our very enemies. And so, in the New Testament, we have this same principle of copying the image of God, as in Jesus Christ, obedience to the Ten Commands, having priority over traditional habits of religious worship. We see Jesus applying it to the Pharisees when they criticized him dining with the tax collectors and sinners of his day. Jesus rebuked these Pharisees and taught them about the true godliness, the true spirit of Christ, and asked them to go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, not worship, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Matthew 9:13. And later on in Matthew, he tells us again that Jesus had to further rebuke the Pharisees for their over-observance of their Sabbath keeping and condemning the guiltless by finding fault with the disciples, plucking ears of corn to satisfy their hunger. He says, if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. You pay more attention to the little details of purity of worship and so on. You would not have condemned the guiltless. And Mark also tells us that loving our neighbour is more important than ritual worship. To love one neighbour as oneself is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now that's in Mark 12:33. So may you and I, by God's grace, be able to please our Heavenly Father by manifesting the fruit of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, following him and copying him, and to demonstrate that we belong to him, we are indeed his children. May God bless these thoughts to us.